Okay, this hour with Dr. Artie Clark, we'll take your phone calls as we continue talking about the incredible stories that she has written about in her book, More Encounters with Star People. We'll get right into this when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Dr. Artie Clark with us. Artie, where do people get your book, More Encounters with Star People?
Well, it's available at Amazon, on Amazon.
Great. They've got them all, don't they?
Yep, they sure do.
And, of course, it's always at a discount.
Yes, there's three of them I've written so far. So,
all right, do they describe for you what the craft looks like? I mean, round,
well,
triangular, what's it look like?
Yeah, they vary. A lot of them talk about a cylinder-like a craft. Some describe it as a tank. Others talk about, a couple talk about a V-shaped craft. A lot of them talk about a circular craft, you know, and they always say, you know, it sounds like it's a science fiction movie, but that's exactly what they look like. They describe them as being dull, silver color, black. Also, that if you touch them, they're not like metal, not like any metal. They think they're metal, but when they touch them, they're not. No windows, but have those who go on board and who see outside are able to see outside, because you can look through. Once you're on board, you can see the outside.
How big are they?
It varies. Some of them say as big as a football field. Others say, you know, like I was talking about Bo, that it covered the entire sky. Others say holds, you know, maybe 50 feet in diameter. And some say that they're even smaller and are very... not very high. The height inside is not very high. If they're the small grays, that they're a very small craft.
Do they describe a propulsion system at all?
One elder talked to me about a propulsion. So he said that's why they come for water. And he said that they put the water inside the shell, and that somehow the water is used as a part of the propulsion system, and then they filter the water and they can use it for other purposes. So he said that's the reason why you often see them over ponds and rivers and different places sucking up water.
All right, let's take some calls here for you. Let's go to John in Baltimore. John, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, George, and thank your guest.
Sure thing.
Are they coming from this planet, or is it just right around the corner? I think, you know, the Milky Way is so small compared to the entire galaxy. You know, wondering.
Well, the Milky Way is the galaxy. Where are they coming from?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that the people I interviewed know where they're coming from. They tell them that the majority of them say they're not from this solar system. So, you know, obviously it would be far beyond that. I noticed on your website you have that signal that was received in Russia from, was it Hercules?
Yes.
And that they think that it might be someone trying to contact us.
You never know.
Never know, right?
Now,
that's a long way off. What do they say, 150 light years away?
What is your theory on why the Native American contact?
Well, I think that Native Americans have maintained their ancient stories of contact. I think there was a lot more contact centuries ago. And they have passed that on to generation. And they're just open to that. Where those stories have been discounted as fantasy and quaint and just myths, and they have no substance. But to the Native American community, that's not true. You know, it's actual events that occurred. And so I think they're more open to that. Also, I think because we often live in more rural areas, more isolated areas, and I don't think those who come here necessarily want to announce that they're here. They would prefer to come to isolated rural areas where there's not that many people observing them.
Let's go east to Peter in Asheville, North Carolina. Hey, Peter, welcome to the show.
Peter, George, how did you like Asheville?
I loved it. The people were great. It's a gorgeous city. I had a great time.
Yeah, it's a nice little town.
Sure is.
Yeah, sorry I didn't get to introduce myself to you. I was with my girlfriend and we got kind of distracted.
Ah, okay, but you were out in the crowd, like, though. You were there.
Yeah, I seemed like you left a little earlier than some of the other people, I think. So.
Oh, no, we were in the back.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I was the last guy to leave the building.
Really? Because yeah. I was talking to Josh for a while and afterwards, and he said you had left before.
Oh, no, we were in that meet and greet line.
Well, anyway, yeah, I was going to say if later, maybe in October, if you have any astrologers on, you should put me on with them. And I remember I talked to that other guy about the election.
We will have many on. But anyways, go ahead. You're on with Artie. Go ahead.
Well, what I wanted to ask her is, have you had encounters? I've only had encounters with, like, Zetas, but have you had encounters with humanoids, like, say, from the Pleiades or anything like that? And also, what about the Rh negative blood factor? You know, it apparently only certain humans have the Rh negative blood, and it's not in any other species on the planet. And some people think it's sort of the star children marker or something like that.
What do you think, Artie?
I've heard it more often related to the lizard type of people, not to star children. I think star children are probably, at least from what I've been told by people who've had encounters, and, you know, they're a hybrid children. They're not, they're human and more a combination of human and aliens who are more human-like.
You know, Artie, we've heard a lot about hybrids with extraterrestrials who we look like. What about hybrids with, like, reptilians? Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't. I've heard of them taking specimens and different things from humans, but not them mating with humans.
Let's go to Gabriel in Inglewood, California, first-time caller. Hey, Gabe, welcome to the show.
Hey, first-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you, sir.
Pretty cool. Right up my alley, guys.
You got it.
You guys just touched base on what I was going to ask. I asked your operator about. So, with the humanoid-like features that the our aliens have, do you think that maybe they had probed the gorillas or the monkeys back in the days? And that's why we are the way we look these days, because they might have been the missing link.
I think you're pretty close, Gabe. I think what happened, if you look at the Zechariah Sitchin theory of the Anunnaki coming here, they took a species that looked somewhat human and genetically altered them, and here we came. And that could have been the apes at the time. What do you think of that theory, Artie?
Well, I'm going to reserve an opinion on that one. I'm not so sure.
All righty. But you're familiar with Zechariah Sitchin's work,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. I've met him years ago.
God rest his soul now. Good researcher. Okay. Leonard in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi, Leonard. It's your turn. Go ahead.
Hey, George. I've been trying to get a hold of you, constantly the past 2 weeks. You're a busy man.
Oh, I sure am, but I'm glad you got through.
Yeah. Well, I have one question I'd like to share experience.
Okay.
Yes. Well, my question is, But she was stating that star people blend in with society and they're very kind, generous, giving people. And I was thinking, hey, you know, I'm one of those people. You know, I was wondering if starseed people will come down here with their mind wiped. You know, they have no memory of their origins. Is that possible? And my is that possible?
Well, I think that's true. I think that along the way, the non-indigenous populations began to discard all the old stories and all the old knowledge in favor of a more scientific approach to life and technology, you know, I mean, but the native people held on to those beliefs. And then it got to a period where people made fun of those who had the traditional beliefs. And, you even hear it today with kids, you know, talking about how old-fashioned their parents are. And it was sure. Anything of the past was bad if it didn't have to do with progress. And I think that's how those stories were lost. I don't think Indians had the soul, were the only ones that had that knowledge. I think all humans had that knowledge. It's just that some were willing to give it up, and American Indians weren't.
Yeah, lately I've been I've been wanting to visit a reservation and try to go on a spiritual journey because I have a Cherokee, Blackfoot, Indian in me, and maybe that's why I'm trying to venture out towards that way. And will I have a experience to share with you? I've always been fascinated with aliens and stuff in that nature.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to kind of contact, you know, them. But one night, I decided to meditate before I go to bed. And something happened where I meditated on the Azurite crystal. And next thing I know, like, I was in a state of almost asleep but not asleep, and I seen a big beam of light take my soul up in the air and trying to take me into a spaceship, and then I just jumped back into consciousness and woke up. I'm like, whoa, what just happened? So,
huh.
Yeah, that was a pretty interesting experience. So,
how many people are experiencing this, Artie? What do you think? These different possibilities.
I think millions of people are experiencing it. You know, I think that if the truth were known,
and there's nothing we can do about it, is there? Can't stop it.
I don't think so. Not at this point.
Do you think government really knows what's going on?
I do.
Are they in cahoots with them?
Well, some people say they are, you know. I don't know, you know. I listen to the stories, but I really don't know. You know, that's something I haven't been able to decide one way or another. But I do believe that the government knows about it. And
see,
maybe they're not able to do anything.
Well, that's my point. I think they can't stop it.
Yeah, I don't. That's the way I kind of feel, and that's the reason why I just don't think that they're necessarily in cahoots. They just don't have any power to do anything about it.
Jake is in Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning, Jake. You're up.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
My question is this: going before what you were talking about during the break with the guest, when you were sharing the story with the gentleman that. Was out in the woods after his wife had passed,
yeah,
or out in the mountains before his wife passed, and he experienced those star people that were mining the ore and taking samples from the dirt. Do you think that they could possibly, or have you heard that they could possibly be studying our Earth and the way we act as a people to possibly one day either make themselves known to us and try to develop a intergalactic species, like, you know, intergalactic peace, or do you think they could possibly be studying us to take us out?
Well, you know, it may have been nothing more than a scientific expedition. Like, we went to the moon, we brought back samples. On the other hand, Bo didn't see it that way. He felt they were more invasive, that they were, you know, going throughout the country, and that area of New Mexico was not the only place where they were, because he saw several craft leave that huge, I guess you'd call it a mothership, and go off in different directions. And he only saw two of them. So, you know, who knows what their motives were, but Bo was very concerned about it. He thinks that it's a threat.
David Jacobs thinks it's a threat, too. Next up, we go to Jessica in Simi Valley, California. Jessica's not ready, but John in Canada is. John, go ahead.
Hello, George. How are you?
Hey, John, good.
And to your guests. As I mentioned, I've been on coast to coast several times on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I've had encounters with, spaceships, whatever you want to call them, planets.
Have you been abducted?
Yeah, once, that I can remember.
How old were you?
It ended up still 13.
Okay.
It's always the Nordic people, and they're beautiful. They're truly beautiful to look at. They're very tall, long white hair, and they're very kind. They're very kind. But what I was phoning about was the man mentioned, your guest, mentioned the little people.
Mm-hmm.
Is he there?
It's a she.
I'm here.
The little people?
Yeah, but it's a she, not a he.
Oh, because they... one...
There you go with your raspy voice, Artie.
A lot of things. I don't think a he recently.
No, but... you're not a he. You're not a he. But yeah, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and ask you the question about the little people. And, of course, historically, cultures have talked about little people, the Irish leprechauns and things like that. So we'll get your take on that. And, of course, don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, if you would. Great information that way. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with final phone calls. On our next Coast to Coast program for a couple hours, the numbers lady, Glynis McCants, joins us, followed, of course, by David Wilcock with his new book called The Ascension Mysteries. So don't miss that part of Coast to Coast. Welcome back. So John in Canada wanted to know about the little people. What do you think?
Well, I'm not sure whenever I collect the stories, that the little people of the ancient stories are the same as the little people that people are encountering, because I think the little people that they talk about are more like the grays, who are less than, you know, somewhere between 3 and 4 feet tall.
Right.
For the little people of the ancient stories, many of them are just knee high. You know, they're very small people.
But the myths of leprechauns, did you have any similarities with any of that?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, you look at the different cultures and the different Indian tribes, many of them talk about like the Arapaho, the little people that live on the Wind River Reservation are very mean and attack, and you know, they're very cruel. Where you have on other reservations, you have little people who are helpers, who look out. If you go to, you know, other reservations, you have ones that will take children. They steal children, but they also teach them how to be doctors and use the old medicines. So that's, you know, their variations of the stories about the little people and what their role was in society. All of the cultures believe that they were here before have been settled on this land for a very, very long time. Same way with the giants, that the giant race was here before they moved into a certain area.
Let's go to Ron. Go ahead. I'll let you finish up.
I was just going to say the giants could be anything from people who were red-haired with beards. One tribe talked about, you know, encountering these giants with black beards. I mean, they were obviously and were people that simply vanished, you know, for most part.
All right, we start now with Ron east of the Rockies in Goldsboro, North Carolina. Ron, good morning. Go ahead.
I know there are other dimensions, but what I wanted to talk about is angels, demons, and what I call abominations. I've seen all three of those, and I can describe them.
Well, the demons, of course, what did they look like to you?
Teeth that are jagged. In human form, but their teeth are jagged, and I've even seen a crippled man that was at the YMCA, and he couldn't turn his head looking at me, but his teeth were jagged, and his handler had to move his head to keep from staring at me.
That's not a good thing. My gosh.
I'd say it's not a good thing.
And I have seen myself when I weighed the most about 300 pounds. I smoke on the very edge of the YMCA, and here comes this car. The guy looks exactly like me, asking me if I want a ride. And I tell him no, and he lets out a scream from hell.
Jeez, like a doppelganger or something like that. Be careful out there, Ron. They're everywhere. There are the Native Americans that you talked to, what percent of them, Artie, did you think, you know, pretty normal people? They're telling me the truth.
Well, I think all of them are telling me the truth.
Okay. That's huge.
And I think they are normal people. I mean, there are people that have kept a lot of secrets about what's happened. And so I've been privy to stories that you would never have known about or never heard about. You know, I think of you know, I just, while we were on the air, I got an email from a doctor in California who sent me an email and said in 1912, his mother saw a UFO. I get those stories all the time from people. Some are lengthy and go into great detail about things that have happened to them. And simply have never told the story to anyone because they had no one to tell.
They're afraid of ridicule, aren't they?
Right. Losing their job. A lot of people are afraid of losing their jobs.
Yeah.
If they come forth with these kind of stories or because they're in positions where they might be considered unstable or fantasy prone. And so they just keep quiet.
Let's go to James in Norco, California. Hi, James. You're up with us.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
I'll try not to take too much of your time, as this is mostly a side point. But the thing about stories such as these, and I do not mean to discredit anything or say that any of the people who have spoken are lying in any way, shape, or form. But the thing about, say, Native American stories, is that perception of people of that time was at the borderline confusing level. See, we are, as a species, very diverse, correct?
Should be.
So, for example, the Aztecs in South America, they believed in the feathered serpent god Quetzalcoatl.
That's right.
That he would return 5 centuries after he first appeared, which in 1500, which allowed Cortez to easily take South America. The thing about it, though, is that he was supposed to return as a very tall, white, red-bearded man. And as a Viking ship does have a feathered serpent as the head, and it's only 5 centuries before when he first appeared, was within a decade of when the Vikings first landed in Canada, it's entirely possible that such a thing was connected. So it's entirely possible that stories such as these are just encounters with other races rather than aliens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's always that possibility. There's no doubt about that, but there's too much unusual activity with these two, I think, Artie. And I think you found, after interviewing all these people, that they were too strange to be just terrestrial-related, don't you think?
Yes, and I think the old stories, they don't talk. The Aztecs may talk about somebody, you know, the Quetzalcoatl, you know, was a god to them, and he taught them, you know, the way they were supposed to live and the way they were supposed to behave. Kukulkan did the same thing for the Maya. You know, if you travel throughout South America, you have, you have gods that came on, you know, vehicles that spit fire and who had the ability to move mountains and to, they used what would appear to be laser guns. You have stories about men with lightning for, you know, lightning for their eyes, that they could shoot out laser-like beams and kill people who were their enemies. There are many stories, and how you translate that and how you interpret it, I think, is your own personal, that's what you do. You know, if you want to discredit it or you want to take it for face value, that's also. But I think in ancient times we were a lot more connected than what history tells us we were. And it may very well be. I mean, I don't think Cortez would have ever defeated the Aztecs if the Aztecs had not been hated by every tribal group in Mexico, and they joined Cortez to defeat the Aztecs, not realizing the repercussions that it was going to have on all those cultures.
We've got Jessica in Simi Valley, California. Go ahead, Jessica.
Hello. Hello. I think my boyfriend is one of these alien types.
Oh, really?
I sound crazy.
Does he know this?
Well, he said something like his, I was like, oh, let me do your palm reading. So he goes, see, certain people have this M, two M's on their palms.
Mm-hmm.
And he has like, I don't know, it's like more reptilian, I guess, or I don't know, but what would be like some key signs?
What are the key signs that one would get convinced someone else was an ET, Artie?
Well, I'm not sure. I really am not.
I mean, the eyes, anything like that?
Well, they talk about, you know, eyes that are larger than normal.
Funny heads?
Rounder heads, right?
Yeah. But most of them look like we do, right?
Yeah.
They kind of blend in.
And there's a concern among some people that, you know, that's one of the plans is to simply plant hybrids here.
Yes. You know, to just take over the planet.
Right, to live among us, and at some point we'll just take over.
Yeah. Mike in Miami, Florida, it's your turn, Mike. Go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Good morning, actually.
Good. Hi there.
How are you doing?
Good.
Good. I have a question for the lady. She was talking about the Four Corners of New Mexico, and if I recall, in the tribal land over there, they had experienced a moaning and groaning sounds coming from this kind of like a tube coming from the ground, which is like an air shaft. And it was said to be believed that there was a base down there that was done by the government for the aliens to do autopsies on human beings and for exchange for, you know, for technology. But according to what they were saying, that it got out of hand, where the government actually sent special forces units down there to fight the aliens, to kill them, to stop the experiment. And my family lives in New Mexico, so I know the area really well, north, especially the Four Corners and Taos and Española, Los Alamos, which is a nuclear base. We used to be at the 1940s where the atom bomb was made. I was just wondering, what's your thoughts about that? If you think that's really true? Because, I mean, there's a lot of myth that goes on in that Four Corners.
Well, you know, one of the chapters in my book is entitled Aliens on the Archiluca Mesa. And I talked with a man who told me that one night he was on this rural road up into the mountains, and he saw two helicopters come toward the mesa, and he stopped his vehicle and he got out because he wondered what they were doing. And he said they were side by side, and they became stationary, and suddenly, he said, out of nowhere, this spacecraft came and came right between them, and they got at that spacecraft, and he swore that spacecraft went right inside that mountain. And he said,
wow, a lot of people have said
really
that.
Crazy, but he said that when it got to them closer to the mountain, it seemed to shrink so that it flattened out so that it could, and it went inside that mountain. And he said after the spacecraft disappeared inside the mountain, it went away. And, you know, there's a story there that of that woman that was, and he talked to me about it, but there was a woman that was found down by the river there, and she was running by the river. She was naked, and a guy picked her up, and she told him that she was from the Navajo reservation, I believe, or she was. Anyway, it was over 100 miles where she was from, and she claimed that she had been inside that installation you're talking about, and that they were conducting experiments, and she wanted him to get her out of there, and they said that they don't know, even have any idea what happened to her, because suddenly somebody came and claimed her, and that was the last they knew of her. What happened to her? So there's some interesting stories that come out of that part of the country.
Well, there sure are. Artie, we are out of time. I want to thank you for being part of the program. Keep in touch with us, okay?
Yeah, tell everyone to go to Artie at, or to write me at Artie@sixkiller.com, or go to my website at sixkiller.com, and I'll be happy to write to anybody who, you know, I get dozens and dozens of emails a day, and I answer every one of them.
You got it. We've got the link for you at coasttocoastam.com as well. Those of you on hold, I'm sorry I couldn't get to you, but of course the clock has gotten to all of us right here. But stick around for our next Coast to Coast program all week long. You're going to like these shows. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Greg Bishop, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.